A new administration, a new fate for the Keystone XL pipeline. From Marketplace, I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio. Remember the Keystone XL pipeline? This is the pipeline that would move Canadian oil to Texas. It has been a heated flashpoint between environmental and indigenous peoples groups and the oil industry for years. The Obama administration eventually blocked its construction. The Trump administration approved it. Now President-elect Biden appears set to block it again. Marketplace's Nova Sappho joins me now with more. Hi, Nova.
Good morning.
So what are the details of what President-elect Biden intends to do?
Well, Biden appears ready to rescind a permit that the Trump administration had granted, which allowed the operator of the Keystone pipeline to complete the northern leg of that pipeline. That's the XL part of Keystone XL. Now, that northern leg crosses the U.S. border, and Biden could take action to block that section of pipeline as early as his first day in office. He's sworn in on Wednesday, of course.
White House approval is, as you've said, key to getting this project up and running. Canada, though, has been pushing for it. It wants to expand its oil sands production. What's the rationale for reversing course, at this point?
Well, Biden's opposition has been no secret, right? The Obama administration, which he was, of course, a part of, rejected the pipeline on grounds that it runs counter to fighting climate change. And Biden, during his campaign, vowed to rescind the pipeline's permit. And that's what he appears likely to do now.
Supporters of Keystone say it creates jobs, helps the U.S. be more energy independent. Do we expect to hear more from them now?
We already are. Keystone's operator, TC Energy, said he would make a promise to achieve net zero emissions in 2 years. It appears to be trying to make a preemptive move to try to address some of the environmental concerns, Sabri.
Marketplace's Nova Sappho, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Netflix reports quarterly profits tomorrow. Millions of people have turned to streaming for something to do while stuck at home and not going out to see movies. So streaming platforms have done well. But there are a lot more of them these days. And as Erica Barris reports, this competition is all about original content.
Netflix had huge hits in 2020, like The Queen's Gambit and the escapist costume drama Bridgerton.
I'm anything but interested in you.
And I anything but interested in you.
For 2021, the company plans to release a new movie every week. Media analyst Tim Hanlon says that's partly to offset the loss of popular shows like The Office, now streaming on Peacock.
It's a fragile balance between milking libraries, which they don't own but are basically leasing or renting, and pumping billions of dollars into original exclusive content that may or may not resonate or succeed.
Yes, billions. An estimated $19 billion in 2021. That's partly about growing audiences. Households of color are increasingly subscribing to streaming services, says Stacey DeArmas of Nielsen.
People want to see themselves on screen. They want to see their stories.
That's also driving services like Netflix to create diverse shows and movies. I'm Erica Barris for Marketplace.
One part of Martin Luther King Jr.'s legacy is the Civil Rights Act of 1968. It's also known as the Fair Housing Act because it outlawed housing discrimination on the basis of race, religion, national origin, or sex. King didn't live to see its passage. Marketplace's Amy Scott reports on how the act has fared in recent years.
The Fair Housing Act was introduced in 1966, thanks to pressure from Martin Luther King Jr. and other civil rights leaders. But for 2 years, the bill went nowhere.
That bill died in Congress. A bit of democracy died. A bit of our commitment to justice died.
Then on April 4th, 1968, King was assassinated. And amidst the public outrage that followed, President Lyndon Johnson pushed Congress to act.
The time is here. Action must be now.
Cottrell Lewis is director of advocacy with Habitat for Humanity, New York City.
And it was only because of Dr. King's assassination that bill was passed days later, and it was on President Johnson's desk.
More than 50 years on, fair housing advocates say the law has been weakened. Last year, the Trump administration repealed an Obama-era rule called affirmatively furthering fair housing as part of its push for deregulation. The rule had required local governments to develop plans to address housing segregation or risk losing federal aid. Under Trump, HUD also passed a rule making it harder to prove that a practice is discriminatory if it has a, quote, disparate impact on protected groups, like when a landlord rents only to people with full-time jobs, which could disproportionately exclude Black applicants.
The Trump administration kept up a drumbeat of really attacking and eviscerating our fair housing laws.
Lisa Rice is head of the National Fair Housing Alliance. She expects the new administration to restore those protections.
The Biden-Harris administration has said that it wants to place racial equity at the top of its agenda. You cannot have racial equity without disparate impact and without affirmatively furthering fair housing.
She acknowledges there will be a lot of urgent issues competing for the new government's attention, like addressing the pandemic that has especially hurt people of color, she says, in part because of segregation. I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
And I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.